Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. I am delighted to have this time with you today, and we're super excited about our guests today that have joined with us. And from the First Liberty Institute, we have Jeremy Dice, their attorney, and we're really happy to have Coach Kennedy with us today from formerly the state of Washington and now living out in Florida. But this man took a stand that really encourages our heart. We want to hear the story today. You know, we're about to begin the Spiritual Leadership Conference here in Lancaster, and one of the things that pastors and Christians need, I believe, today is encouragement, and we find that primarily from the Bible and Christian fellowship, but also from stories of how God has worked in someone else's life. And so, Coach, we want to thank you for the stand you took, and welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church.
Thank you.
And to our podcast today. And Coach Kennedy, would you start us off by maybe giving a little bit of the story, beginning from, you know, coaching in Washington and
sure.
what God told you to do after those games and how that got you in trouble?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out, I was a knucklehead my whole entire life. And
that's not true. 20 years in the Marines. So thank
well,
you for your service.
It took me 20 years to figure things out there.
Right.
I just got out of the Marine Corps, and my wife, she went to church. She grew up in the church, and we had a lot of problems to start with. Insta family, blend families together, especially today, you know, yeah. with schools yeah. and everything else. And so it's tough. And she came from a very abusive family. Her marriage before was terrible. So she had a lot of barriers up. And I didn't know how to break those down. So what I did is I finally submitted to God, and really just that's what it was. I was all in.
Amen.
I resisted at first, of course, like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm not going to go to church. You guys do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. And my kid one day just said, Coach, or Coach, they call me Coach now, but they said, hey, well, if he doesn't have to go, do I have to go to church?
Oh, okay.
And so you
okay.
can imagine what
yeah.
that does to you as, you know, a father and yeah. trying to be a good example. So I went and I sat very much like the most guys my age mm-hmm. do, arms crossed and very defiant. And when I realized I couldn't do anything else with my wife, and I went as far as I could, and I felt like I was losing her, I needed help. And so I went up to the altar. They were playing one of those good songs that just hit you in the heart.
Yeah.
And I fell to my knees and I said, God, I'm all in. And I said, you help me with my wife. I will give you my entire life. Everything is yours to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, he said, oh, I'm going to call you to do this and to be a coach. So it was really God just working in my life. And it was an absolute fluke, as far as I was concerned, why I was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic director saw me out on a run one day and asked me if I was interested in coaching. And I blew him off. And I finally said, you know, there's got to be something to this. And went to a job interview. I was sitting there, and they offered me the job. And they said, you know, what do you think? And I said, well, let me have the weekend to think about it. Well, Facing the Giants came out, and
okay.
I was on TV in the middle of the night, and you can imagine, you know, you don't get very many words from God directly like
right,
that.
Right.
And so I fell to my knees the second time in my life that I just bawled my eyes out. And I mean, I was breathless. I mean, God was answering my prayer. What do you want me to do? And I said, I'm all in. I will give you the glory, just like in the movie,
yeah.
after every game, win or lose, and I'll do it right there in the battlefield.
Amen.
That's how it all started.
And that was in Bellingham?
Bremerton.
Bremerton.
Yep, just south.
In
yep.
Bremerton. And so you started praying on the 50-yard line after every game. Little did you know that would take you to the Supreme Court someday.
Yeah.
And just,
who would ever
just
think?
Simply acting in obedience to the Lord, and certainly reminds me of the three Hebrew children who just said, "We're not going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar." And you had the Nebuchadnezzar of the school board and others telling you, "Stop praying." And Jeremy, thank you to First Liberty for the work you guys do all across the nation. Kelly Shackelford has been used of God in the courtrooms, and and you were certainly used in this case. Can you kind of bring us to the part of the story of how you guys connected, and then a little bit of the legal basis for the case?
Yeah, no, he had a friend actually on his team that said, you know, I have a friend that I graduated this school with who's an attorney in Oklahoma. You should call that guy. And so they connected, and it just so happened that we were at the same conference with that guy.
Okay. Coincidence.
Yeah, coincidentally, right. Providentially. And they said, oh, yeah, we got this issue. We should call them. And I think our first question to coach was, are you some kind of weird religious nut job? Just to make sure, you know, who is this guy that we're getting in trying to figure out what's going on with?
I was laughing that like that. Yeah. I was like, no, if you want that, you got the wrong guy. Yeah. I'm brand new baby Christian. I don't know what any of this means yet.
So we thought this was going to be like a 3-week project. We come in there, we say, you know what, let's just come up with a reasonable solution here. Let him take a knee in private prayer. That'll be it. We move on. That's not what God had in store for this case. Instead, we found the school district rather entrenched in their position. We narrowed the issues down to one single issue, which was him taking a knee in private prayer by himself at the 50-yard line. He said, that's the practice I committed to God to do. That's the thing I want to do. There's some other things that occurred. We'll put those all in the background. We won't worry about those anymore. I can abandon all of that.
Yeah.
But I made a commitment that I would take a knee in private prayer by myself at the 50-yard line. That's what he wanted to do. He did that. He finds himself suspended, and eventually he's let go. He's not asked to return the next year. He's fired from his job.
You're not preaching to the kids. You're not mandating that they pray with you. You're praying at the 50-yard line. And that was really what you lost your job for.
Oh, that's exactly what it was. I really worked with the school trying to, you know, because before they even got involved, these are my friends. I worked with them for a decade.
Right.
And we got a lot of believers, you know, that are on the football team and in the school. So it was something that, you know, we thought we really could work through, but the lawyers got involved, and it was just, it really came down to that one point. And, you know, they said, you either got to choose between God and your job. Yeah. And that's why I needed help from First Liberty, because I don't know any Americans that are equipped to take on that.
I know others have told you this, but from a Baptist preacher in a similar state here in California, thank you for choosing God. Thank you for standing, because so many Christians today are equivocating. They're getting into the woke mentalities of, you know, compromise, and what you did refreshes us. And Jeremy, with the law side of it, constitutionally, where did you drive this home in the courts?
Look, we knew that students could reverence prayer on campus. There was a case back in the 1960s that said that neither students nor teachers shed their constitutional rights when they walked through the schoolhouse gates. And so we knew students could reference that in classroom assignments and classroom discussions, talking about in the hallway, you know, wherever they may find themselves on campus, even on the football field, they could take a knee by themselves or with a group. They could do all of that. No problem.
Yeah.
The open question was, what about the teachers? What about the coaches? And that was the issue that we needed to figure out with Coach Kennedy's case.
Okay.
And so what ended up happening is that the courts all the way through kept on saying, no, he can't engage his religious beliefs when he comes on campus. Why? Because people might see him and they know what he's doing, and that would be enough to establish religion.
Yeah.
Even though the fact is that he was kneeling on one knee like he'd be tying his shoe or looking for a dropped contact lens, they said, no, we know what you're doing in there, and that's actually wrong for you to do. That would violate the Constitution's ban on establishment, and so we have to, as the school district, fire him if he's not going to, you know, dispense with his religion or leave it in his car when he pulls up to the campus.
Yeah.
And so that's what we argued all the way through the Supreme Court, that this should not be a big deal. This is someone who is entitled to that other clause in the First Amendment called the Free Exercise Clause, that he's actually allowed to reference his faith on campus. And to be fired for doing so is a violation itself of the Constitution. The school instead ought to be showing not only respect but also tolerance for his religious beliefs. And if they have a concern about any kind of establishment, they don't need to. But if they had the concern about that, they could have simply made an announcement that said, you know, whatever our coaches or teachers are doing at the 50-yard line, that's on them. That's not on us.
Right.
In other words, the job of the school is to do what schools are supposed to be good at, which is to teach their students what it means to be a citizen in this country.
Right.
And they chose not to do that. Instead, they chose to fire him.
Well, they have a different idea of citizenship today, and it's a godless idea. And so thank you for what you did to defend the faith. And I want to say to our pastors that are watching this, you know, I wanted you to be encouraged as I've been with the story, but I want to say this. We all are going to have members of our church, if they stand, if they practice what we've been teaching and what we see in the Word of God, they're going to face this. I truly believe there's going to be people persecuted in the workplace because of their religious convictions. And people like Coach that maybe want to pray for their lunch or maybe give an invitation to someone to come to their church. And we need to encourage them with this story, but also we need to encourage those who have the faith and courage to stand up. And I know that groups like First Liberty, Christian Law Association, other groups, they want to help us. And I know that you guys are stretched. You have to look for the cases that fall into your parameters. But we need to encourage people that want to stand. And that's something that is so very important today, because the other side has a will to fight, and God's people need to stand up with courage today. And Coach, as you were working with those kids, I know that as we were talking earlier, it wasn't all about the wins and losses. I mean, these were kids without good home structure. Tell us a little bit about the ministry heart you had for them.
That's what the most important thing was, is when I took the job of coaching, I took it seriously to be more than just an X and O guy. Yeah. We had the most brilliant guys out there. We had guys that were in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the we had the talent there. Yeah. The part that I really saw that they were missing was the personal development stuff, where the kids needed discipline and they needed leadership and team building, and they needed to be able to become better young men.
Yeah.
And that's what my main focus was. I didn't care about the X's and O's. I cared about who was doing that. And also with the coaches, to make sure that they were giving the kids everything they needed. The interaction with parents, the interchange between the school and their classes and their grades and attendance. All these things are just all blended together, and somebody's got to fill the gap for these young men. I didn't have that when I was a kid. Yeah. And now I am being able to, I feel that was my calling, is to be able to just be part of their lives and fill that gap that I was missing, so they didn't go down the same road I did. Right. And I took it very seriously. And the people in my community, you talk to any of the kids. I was there for 8 years, 60 kids per year. That's a lot of families.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think we did a great job raising our young men.
Thank you for doing that. Tell us about the opposition you faced, Jeremy, along the route going to the Supreme Court, from people that don't have faith in Christ or have a different interpretation. You know, some of the things you experienced along the way.
Yeah, some of the most frustrating parts are when you have lawyers and others that are, and the school district falls into this category of saying that anytime religion pops up on campus, it has to be dealt with, it has to be dismissed, as if it's some sort of virus that's going to infect the entire campus. Yeah. And so they pull out the exception clause like it's a can of Lysol, and they spray down every campus, every surface to make sure that nobody gets infected with this religion thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's doing damage to religion, and specifically to religious freedom. Because the promise of the First Amendment, the promise of our Constitution, is that if you are a person of faith, if you have a faith in Christ or whatever your faith might be, you have the right to be able to exercise that without fear that the government's going to, you know, pull the can of Lysol out and spray you in the face with it.
Right.
And yet that seems to be what every school district in the country seems to want to do whenever religion pops up, whether that's a coach or a teacher or a student even. There's a lot of concern even about that. And so the Establishment Clause, the First Amendment, the Free Exercise Clause, all of those have been sort of depressed over the last 40 or so years, or maybe close to 50 now, especially with the case called Lemon versus Kurtzman. This is something we call the Lemon Test in our jurisprudence in this country. And every time that case came out, it was trotted out, religion lost in the schools and the public square all the time. And so they would always pull this case out as the reason for, you know, there's too much secular involvement here, this is too much of a mingling of religion and society, and so religion's going to lose in this case.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, because this guy decided to take a knee and then stand up, that case is gone. That case was overturned with this case.
Great.
And today, we now have a level of freedom in this country that most of us have not had in our lifetimes. I'm 44 years old. That case is older than me.
And you know, my challenge again to everyone listening is, let's use that freedom, right?
Yeah.
We have the freedom to kneel on that 50-yard line. Let's find every Christian coach we can and encourage them, here's the freedom, use it. Because like, for example, we have the freedom to go out and preach the gospel, passing out tracts to the door. That's gonna be challenged, but while we have it, we need to use it. So thanks for holding that for us. You know, our theme this week at the conference is not ashamed. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And this is the spirit of the first century church. They were not ashamed of Christ. And I think that's what encouraged me, Coach, with your story, was that you know, fundamentally it was about a man who wasn't going to bow. He was not going to be ashamed to say that I'm depending on the Lord for what I'm doing here. And that is what we need to see replicated all over this country. And I know it's been a long journey for you guys, you know, but I'm sure you could have pulled the plug on all this and said, hey, it's not worth it, you know. But I'm so glad you stood. And I'm so glad that you guys encouraged him to stand along the way, but also legally set this precedent for us.
I'm so glad you put it that way, because we've spent a lot of our lives, the last 7 years of my life in our firm, has been dealing with this guy, which is its own little challenge. But taking the legal side of that in and of itself, that, you know, it's a huge win that undoes so much bad in this country. I'm not worried about the cases that I have. We win most of the cases that we have. What I'm worried about are those that never amount to Coach Kennedy. Right. That never say, you know what, I'm just going to compromise this time, and I want to have a little bit more comfort here. Nobody really criticizes them for that. I understand not wanting to go to court, but freedom dies a little bit in that.
Right.
And when we fight these long victories, then for nobody to kind of like take advantage of them is really disappointing. So that's why I encourage folks whenever I can to say, look, go to firstliberty.org, learn what your rights actually are, understand what it is your responsibility to preserve this freedom in your own neck of the woods. And if you got a question about something, give us a call. Let us see. Let's see if we can help you out. If we even need to help you out, maybe you know, we can just simply resolve the matter over the phone and be done.
And sometimes things can be resolved with a conversation with the school official or with some kind of a meeting. But we are finding that there's oftentimes a hardness on the other side. And do you think some of that is born, some of it's born out of a liberal agenda, so to speak, but is some of it born out of the fear of these school districts? They don't want to offend. I mean, where's that coming from?
Yeah, look, there's been a long beating of the drum in the school districts right now that religion is not supposed to be on campus of any sort. And so there is a bit of a fear that they're going to somehow violate the Constitution by allowing religion's presence on campus.
Yeah.
And so there's been five generations, think about that, since Lund versus Kirsten was decided in 1971. Five generations have gone through the idea that religion in the public square is wrong. It's not just with coaches here, by the way, right? That you'd have to leave your yarmulke on the car to go on and be a Jewish teacher on campus or something like that. This goes beyond that to religion in the public square, like memorials that are on public grounds. We had another case at the Supreme Court on that same issue. Can you have religious references? Could you have "In God We Trust" in the city council meeting on the background there? Or on a police cruiser, does that violate the Establishment Clause by having that? We had a memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland, which was dedicated after World War I. It was in the shape of a cross. Yeah. Did that somehow create a religion right there that forced everybody driving by to bow the knee to God? No, of course not. This is part of our history and tradition, the court said, to remind us that in our country, you may disagree or you may agree, we have had a longstanding tradition in this country of allowing religion, and not only allowing it, but welcoming and celebrating religion's presence here as fundamental to our cause for freedom itself. So to denigrate religious freedom is to actually denigrate freedom itself and to make it even more difficult for us to live as a free society.
It's the foundation of our freedom, you know, and it's God that gave us this freedom. And I appreciate the fact that you're speaking out on this. We have six public high schools here in our valley, and we have Christian teachers in those schools who can sponsor a public school Bible club. So our staff guys are able to go out, and obviously there's every kind of a club in the world. There's probably a Satan club, probably a gay club, all these clubs, but constitutionally there can be a Bible club. And we're on those campuses, and I say, pastors, it is a freedom we have. Find a Christian teacher, get into those schools with these kids that are being brainwashed with so many philosophies, and be a preservant there. Sometimes our youth staff will go to football games before the game and give a pep talk to the guys and have a word of prayer. And, you know, there's a limit. I get that. You know, we're not giving them doctrine classes, but we're reminding them that there is a God who cares about their lives. And as long as we have breath, we need to let them know that.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the Bible that says we're called to be the light.
And that's right, salt and light.
And too many people are just hiding and afraid of what is out there. You know, there's certain things you never talk about at work, you know. Oh, you never talk about sex, you never talk about politics, you never talk about religion. And I'm sitting there going, why would you not talk about religion?
Right.
Why would you not talk about politics? Yeah. This is a free country.
Well, and if your faith is real to you, and that's a part of your life, you know, one guy's going to say, what did you do this weekend? Well, I went to Vegas. I did this or that. What did you do? I went to church, and this is what I learned. It's our lives.
It should be so matter of fact. And it was to me. It was no big deal. So what? I go to church. So what? I love God. That's my relationship. That's where my foundation is.
Right.
And then when all this started happening, like you said, it wasn't easy.
Right.
But I had, I think, literally millions of Americans that were praying for this.
Yeah.
And you see that God is actually alive. It's not just written in the book of the Bible.
Right.
We are constantly living that here today. It's not a dead book. It's very much alive.
That's right.
And we need to be out there living the life that God has called us to be.
That's right.
And it's so amazing how people just want to hide that and pretend like, oh, well, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian.
Right.
So
right.
Why not?
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes we let the fear of man dominate our lives.
True.
And it's easy for pastors. I mean, pastors can fear prominent members. We can fear elected officials. But there is another principle that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to have an awe and a reverence for God that would cause us to take the stand like you took. And that's so needed today. And again, Coach, I want to thank you for taking that stand, for being with us here this week. I want to thank you, Jeremy, for coming alongside of men like Coach Joe and so many others. And at First Liberty, the work you're doing is greatly appreciated by us. And we want to stand together and pray for you. And I want to thank you all for joining with us on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Be sure to pray for Coach, that God continues to use him. I know that's his heart's desire. Check out firstliberty.com and pray for these attorneys as they're standing on the front line of defending religious liberty and freedom. And we'll look forward to a great time with you next month on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Until then, I want to remind you of our new book, Resilience and How to Live a Resilient Life Through Christ. That's available at strivingtogether.com. And we hope you'll pick up a copy today, either there or at Amazon. God bless you. We'll see you next month.